Hello and welcome back. It is Hard Factor Nigeria in phone here in Punahaka to number one talk station. I'm Dial. Let's talk. 9 minutes gone past 5 p.m. Next, on to the matter for this hour. Here's a story from Premium Times captioned, Atiku dismisses Tinubu's call for healing process as hypocritical, insists on arrest of MC Oluomo others. Now, here's the story. A presidential candidate of the PDP, Atiku Abubakar, has dismissed Bola Tinubu's call for healing after a violent election as the height of hypocrisy. He, however, commended the U.S. government for condemning the violent and ethnically charged election in Lagos State. Tinubu had in a statement he personally signed said he was saddened by the infractions in some states, as well as the divisive rhetoric that characterized the polls. Atiku's special assistant in public communication, Frank Shaibu, in a statement on Tuesday, however, described Tinubu's statement as an afterthought and hypocritical garbage. He said it was curious that Tinubu was talking about reconciliation after his minions attacked Igbo voters in Lagos in order to give his party, the APC, advantage during the governorship election. Shaibu said Tinubu had continued to protect transport hooligans, politicians and even traditional leaders in Lagos who were seen on video threatening non-indigents. He said, quote, Tinubu's latest statement is laced with hypocrisy and lies. For a whole month, traditional leaders, transport hooligans and politicians in his camp threatened non-indigents, but Tinubu kept mute. His lackey, MC Oluomo, who is a member of his presidential campaign council, was seen on video threatening Igbo people, but Tinubu said nothing. His campaign spokesmen, Bayo Ononuga and Femi Fanikaide, went on social media to warn Igbo people against exercising their franchise, but Tinubu looked the other way. Traditional rulers imposed curfews and went about slaughtering goats and placing them in front of polling units, but Tinubu said nothing. A traditional leader and council chairman in Gbara community, Etiosa local government, summoned non-indigents to a meeting where they threatened non-indigents with eviction if they failed to vote for the APC, but Tinubu said nothing. Those invited by the police ignored invitations because Tinubu was shielding them. On the day of election, many people who looked Igbo were beaten and prevented from voting, but Tinubu kept mute. Now that his party has stolen the election, he has found his voice and is preaching reconciliation. He should tell that to the Marines. If Tinubu is serious, he should ensure that all those found culpable are arrested and prosecuted, but we know he cannot do this because he is their godfather. And that's the matter that's being discussed right now. Atiku dismisses Tinubu's call for healing process as hypocritical, insists on the arrest of MC Oluomo others. I'm asking you, amongst other things, can there be national healing without saboteurs of the elections facing justice? Let's get your take. We're live on facebook.com/NigeriaInfoPH. We're live on Twitter at NigeriaInfoPH. Also, at the appropriate time to call 070-923-093. But also, for this conversation, I am joined via phone by my guest, Henry Ekide, is a National Legal Advisor with the Committee for the Defense of Human Rights. Henry, good evening to you. Welcome to Hard Facts.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for having me.
Let's start on this note, Henry. Are elections, naturally or generally, I mean, everything, literally everything is characterized by something or certain factors. Speaking of elections, are they generally or naturally characterized by the kinds of divisiveness and some of the other irregularities, widespread, irregularities that we experienced in the just conducted elections in Nigeria? Are those general characteristics or features of elections?
That's a rather dicey one, because I would say that when you define any subject or any matter with the features, then it will mean some positive orientation to say, oh, generally it's acceptable for these subjects to be associated with these features. But when they are condemnable and abhorred features, then I don't think that it would be appropriate for them to be referred as characterized or considering the features of that subject. But otherwise, elections are contexts, really. contest in the sense that it is a competition, but it's expected to be fair because it's guided by rules, guided by laws and guidelines that clearly exclude certain vices. So if it cannot be said that those vices are features of elections, elections are not supposed to be characterized with violence. Elections are not supposed to be characterized with thuggery. Elections are not supposed to be characterized with murder, avoidable murders, or violation of extant laws, intimidation and harassment. Those are abhorred behaviors, so they cannot in any way come in the definition of elections as fair democratic process. However, I would not pretend to say that elections in Nigeria, for the wrong reasons and negatively, have seemed to, over the years, been characterized or been associated with these negative vices, Dayo.
So, well, I mean, like you said, it just as with every other thing, no matter how general the concept is, no matter how widely used a phenomenon is, based on the geography, there would be some peculiarities, as it were. So I'm glad that you mentioned, you know, you somewhat narrowed it down to Nigerian, to the Nigerian geographic space. So let's talk about that. Speaking of elections in Nigeria and how, and the practice, you know, of elections in Nigeria over the years, over the last few decades, can we say then that electoral fraud, electoral sabotage, voter suppression, intimidation of voters, even murder, ballot box snatching, you know, and the likes of basically the irregularities that have come to characterize elections in Nigeria, and indeed the last conducted one, the 2023 general elections, can we say that these irregularities have now become a part and parcel of elections in Nigeria, and thus they should be seen as the norm and be accepted by Nigerians as one of the peculiarities of conducting elections here in Nigeria?
Yes, Dayo, unfortunately so. These vices have now become the definitive features of elections in Nigeria, such that if we have elections and these features are absent, they would imagine whether we actually had election at any level, even student elections, community youth elections, even traditional institutions having elections. It does appear that what we have come to understand and accept and know about elections is actually when we perpetrate these vices. Dayo, you didn't mention even the one that is most disturbing, ethnic cleavages and ethnic politics in Nigeria, and even religious cleavages, and of course all of the other vices. So it's unfortunate, but appears to be the definitive features for elections in Nigeria. Of course, since 1953 and up to all the other elections we have had until the fourth republic, and just the 2023 election, we have had all of our elections being characterized by these vices.
Now, Henry, I'd like to draw out a specific part of the question I asked. Now, whilst you know that, I believe, I mean, we'll be judged widely to be correct in your assertions that these irregularities have over the years characterized elections in Nigeria. However, what I'm asking is, as much a feature as they have now become a part of elections in Nigeria, should they be accepted? Should Nigerians now accept, maybe even to the point of embracing, that this is how elections have been and this is how elections will be, and this is just how we conduct elections in Nigeria, and thus accept it to be such?
No, not at all. Undermining the prevalence of these vices, because they have seemed to be there, but they have continued to be criminal behaviors. So it is condemnable. It is not in any way acceptable and allowable as suggesting that that is how elections are supposed to be. Unfortunately, these vices characterize our elections, but they remain negative vices. They remain abhorred behaviors. They remain criminalized behaviors. and they are unacceptable, and clearly so, all of our electoral acts until the very last repealed electoral act 2010 as amended, and the extant electoral act acts 2022 clearly provides for all of these behaviors and criminalize them, making them criminal offenses in Nigeria, punishable upon prosecution and then conviction. So it is not in any way that having identified them as being associated with our elections for the wrong reasons that they are acceptable, but rather they are criminal behaviors and they are punishable.
All right, that said, should the nation then, in the aftermath of the just concluded or conducted elections, should the nation then still dealing with the aftermath of the elections, some people are still burying their dead, I suppose. Some people are still nursing their wounds in hospitals or at home. Some people, it might take them a while to get over the trauma. I remember a colleague telling me that at her polling unit where she was going to cast a vote, she was shocked that police officers stormed the place with thugs and they were shooting sporadically and cutting away ballot boxes. And she's still not over the trauma of that experience. So some Nigerians are still dealing with that trauma. It might take them a while to get over it. So in spite of all of this, Nigerians still dealing with this. Should the nation simply move on? You know, forget the actions and try her best to forget the actions of those who did their utmost to sabotage the process. Would that be an appropriate recommendation? The people should just move on.
Not at all. No sane society would just want to move on with these levels of dereliction and deviation from the laws and then the norms and principles of any process. Any society that attempts or conceives or anyone recommending that kind of moving on or that purported oversight of this kind of vices, I don't think that society is ever going to get that issue right. So it won't be a recommendation at all, Dayo. Nigeria cannot afford to just move on. Move on what and how? It's a rhetorical question that one will ask, even if nobody is seeming to want to answer. Move on how? Oh, so we move on with these vices. We move on so the next off-season elections that are coming up in Bielsa and elsewhere, there should be killings. Move on that there should be violence. Move on that should be disorderly behaviors. And move on that will be smart. No, now it can't be. No society should afford to just move on. We have to have a concerted discourse around these issues. And then we have to also be very determined and willed to ensure that we do not have these issues repeat in any election. We have to clearly identify this very menace, this very crisis and vices, and deal with them decisively. And even when a society wants to probably look over their ugly past, it does not suffice. It doesn't suggest, it does not mean that you will not be deliberate about sanctioning, about discipline, about deterrence with those that have committed those infractions. That is even what will now discourage people. And also we demonstrate that indeed the society does not want to move on a next step from where they have had these experiences. If you do not purge yourself of these vices and clearly, decisively deal with those that have committed these infractions, then you are just pretending, you're just being pretentious. You're not moving on at all. So Nigeria cannot pretend to say we're going to move on. I listen to your introduction. We can't heal anyone if we do not make attempts to even prevent the cause of that injury. Now, even spiritually, the scripture has it that yes, sins may be forgiven, but the consequences of sin have usually not been forgiven. Even as much as David was the man after God's own heart, despite the sins he committed and the forgiveness that God had actually given so to him after his cry, and then still made him and named him his best friend, a man after his heart. But the consequences of those sins that were daring were never forgiven. They were never blotted out. So we need to deal with electoral violators assuming now that we're going to move on as a country, it doesn't mean that anyone who committed any infraction in the just concluded presidential and the governorship elections should not be dealt with.
Henry.
Or do we now move on to say those that the police is having in their custody should just be allowed to go home?
Henry, we have to go for commercial break now. But when I return, maybe in the spirit of healing, reconciliation, but more on that when we return. Stay tuned. Hard Facts will be back in a bit.
The hub for information,
current affairs and more.
The president used his last Democracy Day address to talk about several issues including security.
It is this same government that they started it. They don't obey one another.
Join the conversation
right here.
Let's talk.
And now, Hard Facts.
Hard Facts with Dion.
Hello, welcome back to Hard Facts in Nigeria. In phone here in Port Harcourt, I'm Dio. Number one talk station, Let's Talk. We've got 27 minutes to go before 6 p.m. Yes, 6 p.m. to put the on 6. The major news comes up. Discussions continue, however. Atiku dismisses Tinubu's call for healing process as hypocritical, insists on arrest of MC Oluomo or others. Now, of course, you may remember Tinubu had in a statement he personally sent on Tuesday said he was saddened by the infractions in some states, as well as the divisive rhetoric that characterized the post. But the PDP's presidential candidate dismissed his calls for healing. And Atiku Special Assistant in Public Communication Frank Shaibu said it was curious. Tinubu was talking about reconciliation after his minions attacked Igbo voters in Lagos in order to give his party the APC advantage during the governorship election. He said Tinubu continued to protect transport hooligans, politicians and even traditional leaders in Lagos who were seen on video threatening non-indigents. Well, my guest once again for this conversation is Henry Kine, National Legal Advisor for the CDHR. Henry, you're welcome back.
Thank you for having me back.
Also, you can join the conversation via Facebook and Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. Also, YouTube, Nigeria Info PH. When the line's open, do please call 070-093-093. So, Henry, I was asking a question before the break. Yes, you know, we have rules, we have laws, we've got legislation, we've got the Constitution, we've got the Electoral Act as well. Which stipulates what electoral crimes and offences are, and even goes beyond that to prescribe punishment for these electoral offences also. But how about reconciliation, Henry? In the spirit of reconciliation, how about healing? In the spirit of national healing, and moving on as one, and moving on as a people. How about all those wonderful sounding things? And, you know, some of the winners at the various elections right now are calling for government of unity, of national, even calling on opposition party members to join them. Let's all join hands to move the country forward. How about all of that, Henry?
Yes, it's a good will. I've had to talk about government of national unity, or if you like a coalition, as a positive direction. And again, to say that there should be healing doesn't suggest, clearly, that's the point I'm making, does not suggest that anybody who had hitherto committed any offense should just be allowed to walk away. If anybody understands or attempts to interpret that as his or her intention for advocating some sort of national healing, then I think the person is being unfair, unjust, and of course, just in prejudice of those other victims of the acts or conducts of that individual. Now, let's be very practical here. We have had the presidential elections, and then we have heard reports of actual killing of citizens for nothing, avoidable murders. And then people were responsible for those kind of behaviors. We have had direct, utter incitement by utterances of people. And these have been condemned. And so anybody who did that at the time had committed some offense. In some cases, the police had even reported to have arrested some perpetrators of these kind of criminal behaviors, and they are in police custody, perhaps even being investigated. And we expect that by this time they should be standing trial, prosecution. And then there are people who have just recently in the governorship election killed people. In Rivers, there are about 6 or 9 persons have been killed. What kind of justice? What kind of moving forward? What kind of healing of the wound are we talking about? It does not include, the point we are making should be all inclusive. If it does not include punishment for those who have deliberately got involved in this kind of behaviors. And again, for those who have even deliberately inspired these perpetrators, inspired in the sense that in political violence, the chain is unbroken. There are those who actually are the sponsors of this electoral violence. The political parties must know those who committed political violence in their favor. The candidates must know, and they must be implicated in the behaviors of those who actually committed this electoral violence for their benefit. So a candidate who has been elected a governor of a state, whose supporters and agents across the states were killing people, we are taking away ballot boxes, we're intimidating and harassing people, community town criers proclaiming in communities, clearly threatening others in favor of somebody who has derived benefit from those behaviors. We can't move on as a society if we do not deliberately sit and address these issues. What is going to be the basis for the healing of the wound? What would be the basis for the moving on? What would be the basis for any supposed government of national unity? We must define these conditions. We must define these parameters. We must deal with some persons.
Henry, what is the basis? What if the basis is, you know, there's a time for war, there's a time for politicking, there's a time for elections, and now it's time for peace, now it's time for governance. Is that basis enough for you?
Even when there is time for war and time for peace, you will not allow the person to go away with the booties of the war. There's somebody I may probably get to scripture again. You went to war, and then yes, there's time for war and there's time for peace, and then you cut it away with the property and probably live means of livelihood of some person, and then you're sharing it and you're enjoying it, and at the same time you're sitting on a round table with this victim of not just the outcome of the war, but that you have deprived of its means of livelihood, and you think there is justice in sitting on a round table to discussing the future, or then some, let's heal the wound, or you're having behind you the goat, the yam, the hen, and everything you took from the yam barn of that community. You invaded a community and you cut away everything belonging to that community and their means of livelihood, including their gods and everything they valued and cherished. Then you are having it in your backyard, and then you're sitting on a round table. Yeah, it's not justice. It can't even work. There has to be some way of discussing these issues. If you are to return, you must return these booties of war if you really are sincere to discussing this moving forward. The same way, you must punish in this electoral system, electoral violence. I recommend still punishment for these persons. Look, people we have seen caught in cameras, in their faces. Take the ones in Lagos, since what we are discussing originated from Lagos. And then you are seeing some demigod who is making proclamation and threatening people, throwing the ethnic ties and religious ties, and then threatening people of other ethnicities and other religions. And then you say, we move forward, and after they have got benefit from that kind of threat, and then again, the worst call coming from the beneficiaries of those behaviors, it's not like a state where people were killed 6-9 by allegedly supporters of a political party or somebody who emerges a governor, and then the governor comes to say, let's do state reconciliation. But you're holding on and holding forth the benefit of that misbehavior. I don't think that society is just and fair.
So what does the nation need then to truly heal?
I think what we really would sincerely do in my recommendation would be this. Let us first agree that certain persons have done wrong. And let us first agree that the process that led to the emergence of some persons as either governor or president or legislators are actually flawed. And then let us again agree that there are victims of this process. Even if we cannot retract the beneficial vote, so to speak, to those who have been elected into office, there's nothing wrong in doing that. There's nothing wrong in anybody actually relinquishing that kind of benefit. But then let us also now identify that people have been hurt, have been injured, and they need justice. Any justice for the state or for the society or for the nation that is exclusive of the citizen that has suffered injustice is not true justice. Even a court, justice is not just for the state, but it's also for the citizen. And of course, in terms of the citizen, both parties, if they are in litigation. So I would recommend for all of those who have committed offenses, those who have killed people, they should still be investigated and arrested and prosecuted and dealt with accordingly. That is part of the justice system, inclusive. Those who have threatened people should still be arrested and prosecuted. Now, if you are doing this, on the other hand, then you are talking about a determination of not to take this path anymore. Before you talk about people agreeing to live in a new, supposed new society that will always be hopeful and aspire to have a society that will be devoid of these elements. Because if we have these elements who have perpetrated this evil, and then we seem to sanitize the society with these elements without any deterrence at all, then we're not sure even without the next election. We'll only be setful and probably being ambitious of what aspirations really would be.
You're welcome to join the conversation right now. Lines open 070-0923-0923. We are live on facebook.com/Nigerian for PH. Live on Twitter as well at Nigerian for PH. Speaking of which, Henry Mathias on Facebook goes, the saboteurs should be made to face the music while the injustice meted on the masses should not stand. Check out Diri. Destiny goes, that can never work. Let them face the judgment once after the other, one after the other. Hard facts, welcome, go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, Daya.
Hello, go on.
For me, there is no greater hypocrisy than isolating electoral violence for redress now. Nigeria was bleeding before we entered into this election. And politicians from both sides, whether it's Philip Shaibu or those from the camp of Tinubu, never had thought it wise to call for healing. A student went to school in Sokoto State and was brutally murdered by a mob. I do not want to recall, you know, the incident in Lekki toll gate. Across the nation, people have been killed. You know, mothers have been, raped in their farms, and all of that. And we seem to forget that Nigeria was bleeding before the election. And just because we had, what I call recurring decimal now, we're talking about national healing. There is nothing more hypocritical than that. Nigeria has been bleeding since the Nigerian Civil War. We talked about rehabilitation, reintegration, and forgiveness, and all of that. It has never happened genuinely. And so we cannot just because we had election 2-3 weeks ago and then another round of violence, took over the country and we're talking about national healing. What about the horrendous incidents, that have taken over every nook and cranny of this country, prior to this time? That your children went to school in Dapchi. Children went to school in so many communities, and as I speak to you, years back they have not found their parents, and their parents have not found them. And you think those parents, those homes are not bleeding? You think those communities are not bleeding? These so-called politicians, did they call that their homes should be healed? But Mr. Atiku, in particular, when the incident happened in Sokoto, what led him to pulling down his message? Condemning the act. If he wanted national healing, if he's a true patriot, what prompted him to pull down his message, concerning the murder of Deborah Samuel? He's a hypocrite all over the whole place. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Also, join the conversation 070-0923-093 via Twitter, @0208 tweets that politicians, in this case, Mr. Tinubu, had been silent about statements that can be said to be hate speech made by his people, but is not talking about moving on and peace after he and his people have purportedly won their election is annoying, to say the least. Hello, Hard Facts, welcome. Please go on. Hello, you're live on radio. Go ahead, please. Also, a few more messages here. We can't keep doing the same thing every time and expect different results. That insanity, injustice is what has kept this country the way it is today. Criminals must be punished. So as to set an example to the rest who still indulge in crime and those that want to go into criminality to have cause for a U-turn and have a new life in Christ. But even that, to answer your question, the short answer is no. Tinubu's statement is tantamount to beating up a child and then telling the child not to cry. Hypocrisy does not even begin to describe how Mr. Tinubu and his cronies have conducted themselves all through the election season. And this is me being very, very diplomatic with my statement. But even that, there can be no healing without justice to those who are wounded and appropriate sanctions and punishment to election offenders. That's from Amos. Henry goes, imagine Arsenal FC and Sheffield FC having a football match and the Sheffield FC fans run into the fan stand and grab the Arsenal players, holding them forcefully while the Sheffield players run with the ball to an empty post while the referee does nothing but declares a goal for the Sheffield FC team. Then at the end of the day, they come and tell the Arsenal FC team to move on and show the spirit of sportsmanship. Where is justice? Nigeria is finished. Oh, Dio, how can you, with impunity, violent and arrogantly steal what is so important, a thing that will determine my future, hold on to it, and at the same time asking me for healing and reconciliation? How? What is really wrong with us? Give back what you stole from me, then I will listen to you. Else, go with what you have stolen and leave me alone. That's me, baby, a fine man. She's again your thoughts via 070-0923-093. Got a few more minutes to go before wrapping this up. Hard Factor, welcome. Please go ahead. Hello, you're live from radio. Go ahead. 9213, you're welcome. Go on, please. Hello? Hello, you're welcome. Please go on. Hello? 9213, you're welcome.
Hello, good evening.
Hello, go ahead.
Okay. My name is Leslie. I'm calling from Ojo.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so you have said it all, and every Nigerian that spoke this evening, at least quite the number I heard, everybody, we've all said it. They joke with us, they take us for granted because they assume we can't do anything. Look at what happened in Rivers. I was an active participant. I saw how policemen were moving around, taking ballot sheets and changing figures on them. And you want us to move ahead on this? If Nigerians allow what has happened, if let's even forget what the active participants are doing in court and all that, if as citizens we don't even show our disgust at what has just happened to us, it's going to remain like this forever. As citizens, we have to say a definite no to what has happened. I don't know how you are going to do yours, I don't know how I'm going to do mine, but we have to collectively determine a resounding no. Otherwise, we are slaves forever in this nation, and we are never going to have the change that we seek for. They will take our resources, use it, and keep us down. Keep us divided, as they have done in Lagos. Keep us begging all over this nation. Except the citizens say no to what has just happened. An affront, a debasement, a rape, and a disrespect of our collective will and choices. Nigerians, it's not good enough what we're experiencing. It's not.
Hi, 713, you're welcome.
Hello, good evening.
Hi, go ahead, please.
This is IG from Port Harcourt. Yes. What I want to say now is this. We should be careful. See, after 2007 election, there was a report by European Union. It was published in Champion newspaper. I don't have the paper here, I was reading to you. On page 2. They said that if Nigeria should allow 2007 election to stand, that Nigeria will never do democracy. What happened? They allowed it to stand. What are we today? After the 25th Senate election, on 28th of February, there was a group they did. They call it British Africa. So when they were speaking, they were saying that they should cancel the election. One of them said no. That the INEC chairman was at the Chatham House. As he said that this election is costing Nigeria about $613 million. They can Nigeria afford it again? One of them said that if Nigeria should allow this election to stand, that what it would cost Nigeria will be far more higher than conducting a fresh election. Starting of it. On that Saturday, what happened? You see anybody? That's what it would cost Nigeria. If you allow it to stand, let's it's our country, another country, we can buy it. The next 4 years, anybody going to the polling booth may have his own gun, he have his pocket, his own knife. If we shoot, I shoot. If we slaughter, my brother, you should be best. I'm not saying everybody will not be president and set another corner. Let us do that. Put away that we let the person win. And we go. Then what are we setting for our children coming behind? Hey, it's bad, dude.
Good to hear from you, caller. However, I do have to move on right now. I think on that note, we have to wrap up the conversation as well. Thanks for joining in. Keep it going on our social media pages, Facebook and Twitter and YouTube, Nigeria Info PH. Thanks to my guest, Henry Kine, is a lawyer, national legal advisor with the Committee for the Defense of Human Rights. Henry, as always, many thanks for your time.
Dio, thank you very much for always having me. It's my pleasure. Thank you for the platform.